plan for me and go back to the Father, but leave the Holy Ghost for free. That's why we be dancing, we be dancing, we be dancing, man. That's your whole dance. In the presence of the Lord, each and every day, in a crazy way. T2G, and if you want, praise his name freely. Then follow me now, follow me now, follow me now. Watch this, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider, come to bring us together so no one could ever divide us. Coming again one day, real soon, coming again with fire. We know not the day that he come to take us higher. Oh,
and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord in Senla and in Miss Lou.
KAYT listeners, help us welcome 100.1 FM in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Sunday Worship here at Christian Love Baptist Church, where our pastor is Reverend Larry R. Turner. We're located at 3515 Hudson Boulevard, Alexandria, Louisiana. We, the Christian Love family, would love for you to come worship with us. Our Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m., followed by our worship service at 11. Come experience our midweek worship service on Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Our doors are always open. It's always worth a visit here at Christian Love Baptist Church.
God made me. Thank you.
I'm an achiever. I won't be black, no. I won't be black, no.
It will fade, but the word of our God will stand forever. God's word will stand forever. Now, I only have just a few more minutes, but I want to tell you this. We have been talking and we have been fellowshipping, we have been learning, and we have been being blessed out of the book of Leviticus. Let me tell you, the book of Leviticus holds power. Now, when we look at the book of Leviticus, who would have ever thought that your life would be changed out of the book of Leviticus? I mean, who would have ever thought that the way that you are going to receive blessings from the Lord would come out of the book of Leviticus? A lot of times when we think about blessings, we think about faith coming by hearing, give, and it shall be given unto you, full measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, Luke 6:38. We think about scriptures like that, but we never really think about the book of Leviticus, because we don't think that the book of Leviticus is significant to us today. But can I tell you something today? God wants to change your life. Now, something else that seems somewhat of out of order, because when you think about a new beginning, you're thinking about January. You're really thinking about January the 1st. I mean, that is when we make our resolutions that many of us never really keep. So many of us are sitting back with anticipation, waiting on January 1 so that we can make a resolution that we're probably not going to keep for the first 21 days anyway. But we're trying to make it, you know, those of us that say we're going to lose some weight, you know, or we're going to give up sugar, we're going to give up coffee, we're going to give up smoking, you know, those things that we said that we were going to give up. So we normally run about 21 days, and after that, that's it. We go right back to. But when we think about a new beginning, you see, the good thing about God is you can have a new beginning anytime. You can receive a new beginning, whether it be yesterday or today. Watch this. Remember when we talk about a new beginning, let me bring you up to the text because it holds some significance. Watch this. This is the children of Israel. This is the church. They've been delivered out of bondage. You know the story. They've been delivered out of bondage. They've been in bondage some 430 years. And so now God sends Moses to tell Pharaoh to let the people go. And after 10 plagues, Jesus, God, leads them out. But you need to know when you go back and look at the book of Exodus that as they left, they didn't leave empty-handed. Watch this. Every one of us has been in some form of slavery, some form of bondage. You might not have been in the same form of bondage that the children of Israel were in, but let me tell you something. Somewhat part of your life, you've been in some part of bondage. There was something that you just couldn't get out of yourself. There was something that you couldn't be delivered out of just by your human intellect. Not by your what you knew, not by how pretty you were, not by how cunning you were. You just couldn't get out of it, and it took God to come in there and take you out. And so now the children of Israel have been delivered. They come out, but watch this. Here is where the monkey wrench is thrown into the fan, because an 11-day trip now takes them 40 years. I wish I had three believers here. You see, God wanted to deliver them, but he wanted to deliver them and take them directly to Canaan's land, a land that is promised. You need to know today that you won't always be where you are today. You won't always be struggling, honey. You won't always be broke. You won't always be torn up. You won't always be begging. You won't always be in financial trouble. You won't always be on welfare. God gonna take you from welfare to doing fairly well. You won't always be torn up from the floor up. One day, God is going to take you into the land that he has. I wish I had some believers here. You see, somewhere along the line, God is going to get you where he planned for you to go. Well, somebody's asking, what do you mean a promised land? There is a place of power and peace and prosperity in your life God is going to get you to. That's our promised land. God promised that he was going to give these things to you. And so now they're on the way to the promised land. Now watch this. They end up in the wilderness. Let me throw this in just for free. That wasn't God's fault. I just threw something out there at somebody, you know. See, they ended up in the wilderness from bondage, but that wasn't God's fault. That was their fault. Their unbelief, their unfaith, the things that God had told them not to do, they started to do it. And so now an 11-day trip turns into 40 years. See, when God delivered you out of whatever it was that he delivered you in, if you're in the wilderness now, that ain't God's fault. That's not his fault. That's your fault that you're there. That's your fault that you're getting beat up. That's your fault that you're getting torn up. That's your fault that you're getting where you are. God said, I had even better for you. You turned a one-day trip into 10 years. Let me help you. And so what God does is, even though they're out there, so God says, listen, what I'm going to do is, first of all, I'm going to prepare you for when you leave out of the wilderness, how you supposed to act when you get over to the land of peace and prosperity. See, you're going to know how to spend your money when you get over there now. You're going to know how to act with folk when God bless you this time. Are you with me yet? Because God done already taught you the same folk that you messed over when you were going up that ladder, now you're having to hang with them down here. That is because when he gave you something, you didn't know how to act with it. So watch this. I only have a few more minutes. So watch this. And so now they're out there in the wilderness. And so watch this. Not everybody, even now, not everybody, I'm well aware that not everybody now is struggling financially or struggling in some kind of way. There are some folk here that are doing pretty good. But God wants to bless you exceedingly abundantly. Yeah, he wants to take you even further. And so what he tells the children of Israel, now watch this. He first wants to teach them how to give themselves, or somebody said myself. First of all, he wants to teach them how to give themselves, and then he wants to teach them how to give their sins. Somebody said my sins. And then he wants to teach them how to give their substance. Somebody say my substance. See, the only way that you're going to come out from where you are, you first got to learn how to give yourself. God says, listen, I'm not going to bring selfish, self-centered people out of the wilderness. In fact, if you really want to get technical about it, over 1 million people left that night over the Passover, over 1 million people left, and 600,000 of them died in the wilderness. Can I help somebody today? Watch this. It was because of their selfishness. It was because of their self-centeredness. Now, remember last week we talked about those three offerings, the three ways that God wanted you to bring the offering. Remember in chapter 2, you remember that? Now watch this. In chapter 3, let me bring you up to the text. In chapter 3, God is talking about another kind of offering here. He talks about a peace offering. And I wondered, what does a peace offering have to do with us coming out of the wilderness? How does a peace offering have any significance to you and I in this day and time? Is there anybody here want to come out? Come on now. If you don't want to come out, just stay there, baby. Just stay right there where you are. Stay on welfare. Just keep begging and borrowing. Just keep waiting on somebody to give you something. Just keep waiting on Social Security. Just keep waiting for government health care reform. Just wait on it. We're moving on. We're trusting in God. We're going to practice the principles that God has given us in his word. Let me help you here. Watch this. And so look at chapter 3. When you get to chapter 3, verse 1, you're going to discover that God says, listen, look at verse 1. He says, if his offering or his oblation, a sacrifice of a peace offering. Watch this. Why would God want a peace offering? Let me tell you what a peace offering is. A peace offering, there were different types of offering. There was a peace offering, there was a sin offering, there was a trespass offering. Watch this. The trespass offering is when you sinned and you knew it before you even did it. God already told you don't do it. That's trespassing. Sin offering is when you done it and you really had, there was a gray area there. But the peace offering was when God delivered you from something. Can I help you with this? Everybody owe God a peace offering. Let me help you, because you're sitting there like you owe God a peace offering. And well, God really, you know, I'm in turmoil now. Watch this. You owe God a peace offering, not only for the peace that he gave you some years back, but you owe God for the peace that he gonna give you all the way up there. You still didn't get it yet. God is not going to allow you to stay in the storm forever. So if I were you, I would start giving God a peace offering right now. I'm talking about in advance. I would just start thanking God right now. There ought to be three folk that just, if you really trust in God, you ought to start, well, Lord, I ain't got to see it, but I know you're there. I don't have to have it in my hand, but I know you've already given it to me. That, you see, Jesus said, when you give God thanks and you already have it in your hand, he said, you really hadn't done anything. Let me help you. He says, if his offering be a peace offering, I only have a few minutes. He said, if it be a peace offering, if he offer the herd, he said, whether it be male or female, and without spot or blemish. Now watch this. In verse 2, he said, he shall lay his what? Come on, follow me now. He shall lay his hand upon the head. Watch this. When they came to the congregation, when they came to the house of the Lord, that offering, they had to lay their hands upon the head of their offering. And I always wondered why. Because that shows surrender. That means, watch this. What God was trying to do with the children of Israel, with his church folk, what God was trying to do was show them in Matthew chapter 6 and 21, Jesus gave us a good hint when he said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is. So if you can't turn it loose, then that's where your heart is. I wish I had somebody. You know, there are some folk that just don't, they don't want to turn it loose. And watch this. Your offering, their offering indicated where their hearts were. Preach, Reverend Turner. Now help me here. Your offering tells where your heart really is. Oh, I love the Lord. I just love the Lord and won't give him an offering. I love the Lord and won't give him no tithe. It's getting quiet in this house today. Watch this. God is saying, listen, I'm going to show you where your heart really is. He says, bring it to the door of the tabernacle. Now, first of all, watch this. When he says bring it to the door, that means that you ought to come into God's house right. I know this is it's tight, but it's right. You know, this is not something we want to hear, but it, you see, if your heart hadn't gotten right out there, you're going to miss most of the worship because it's going to take you 30 minutes to an hour to get yourself together before you get in here. God is saying, listen, you got to get it right at the door. Watch this. He says, put your hands up on it. He says, and when you put your hands up on it, is anybody getting anything out of this? Watch this. He said, when you put your hands on it, he says, and he shall kill it at the door. Verse 2, of the congregation, and Aaron and his son are going to sprinkle the blood. The blood is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. He going to sprinkle it upon the altar. The altar was wood. So there was blood shed on the cross. Watch this. God already knew what was going to happen. That's called salvation. In other words, they were paying already in advance for their salvation. Somebody didn't get it yet. They were paying in advance. This is why you ought to thank God in advance. There ought to be three folk here that ought to have sense enough to go to praising God in advance. In the morning time, I don't have to see God. I don't even have to know God is there. I just said, thank you, Jesus, because I know whatever's going to come today, you've already taken care of it. I said, thank you, Jesus, because I already know whatever happens today, my God is in control. In advance. There's some folk that been seeking a job, the certain type of job you want. Watch this. You say, well, I'm way down in the mail room, but you ought to be thanking God for the supervisor position. In advance. That's what we call a crazy praise. When you come in and you praise God for something and everybody starts looking, well, that fool is a janitor. What is he jumping up praising God for? That fool got a broom. Doesn't he know that he's a janitor? You see, you got to know that you know something that they don't know. I wish I had some believers here. Yes, I got a broom in my hand today. But I know that my circumstances could change at any moment, because what I've given, I've already given it already to the Lord. You see, I used to thank God when I had one suit, because I knew that sooner or later my circumstances, late in the midnight hour, God was going to turn this whole thing. They used to say on my job, they said, now, don't this fool know he a janitor? Don't he know he make $4 an hour? And he got the nerve enough to be saying, thank you, Jesus? Throughout the day, he has the nerve to go out on his 30-minute lunch break and read his Bible? What in the world is wrong with him? That boy better be trying to eat. They didn't know I was eating already. Somebody didn't get it yet. I was already preparing for the day already. You see, you ought to have sense enough to thank God in advance. You don't know like I know what the Lord. There gonna be some folk that said, well, you know, don't she know she, you know, you ought to be looking in the newspaper for stuff that you already know God gonna do for you. Y'all not with me yet. You should be riding looking at houses that you already know God gonna give you. there's some crazy folk here. I know that, you know, if they gonna call you crazy, they ought to be right about it. You ought to say, yeah, I'm right. Yeah, I'm crazy. I'm crazy enough to know that God gonna bless me. Why you know that? Because he blessed her. And if God blessed her, he don't love her no more than he loved me. God blessed them, so he ought to love me just as good as he loved them. The same God that made them. I wish I had some folk. Preach, Reverend Turner, preach. Watch this. And so what God was doing was, when he said sprinkle the blood on the altar, that was they were already paying their fee in advance. Watch this. Help me, Lord, help me. I only have a few minutes. Watch this. He says in verse 3, he says, and he shall offer a sacrifice of the peace offering, an offering, the fat that cover the inward parts, and all the fat that is in the inward parts. Now, I always wondered, what would that have to do with me? Simply because I don't have to kill a cow or a bull now to be discovered. I don't have to do that. But watch this. It means that God wanted all of those insides, the kidneys, the liver, the cull, the fat thereof. And I said, oh, God, that's just nasty. That's just bad. That's not really that good. But notice that what they were to do with it, they were to burn it. They were to put it on the altar and burn it so it could go up to the Lord for a sweet savor. Which meant that God wanted all of those inside parts of that animal to show the worshiper, to show the church, to show the believer that he wants all of your emotions. You see, the emotions come from in here. The emotions ought not come from right here. Your emotion, folk break your heart when they break this on the inside. I wish I had some believer there. There are people break your heart. You cry when it comes from here. Your deepest, darkest prayers come from in here. God was saying, I want that to go on the altar and come up to me. Isn't it strange how when we go to weddings, we go to funerals, we go to graduations, and we'll sit there and we'll say, oh, I'm so happy. You know, look at her. She looks so nice. You know, we'd be so happy. Our emotions will come out. But then when we come to church, somebody got to tell you to worship.